Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
It's great to be here. Awesome to be together as family. And today we're actually starting a new series. It's going to take us 9 weeks, okay? So I want to explain it real quick, and then we're going to get into it. But we're starting this series on what we call our church values. So if you guys were around in February, we had what we called Vision Month. We talked through what we call our pillars, right? And so let me just explain this so it doesn't sound like we're in a cult or it doesn't sound weird, okay? We are totally, this is not like stuff we're inventing and making up and like we're, you know, Oasis has got its own thing. No, this is stuff, there's the global church, worldwide church, and there's a few things we all believe, right? And so I like to say like this, we have certain beliefs we'll die for and certain beliefs we will not die for, right? There's certain things it's like, yeah, no, we believe in the Trinity. We believe that Jesus Christ died, he rose again, he's coming back. Like there are certain things that are non-negotiable. But then every church, like there's so many different types of people that God has called us as different churches to kind of reach who we reach, right? Like there's just different styles and different, and that's one of the coolest things about traveling is seeing other styles, right? Like hearing worship in another language and just being a part of things. And so we are just trying to be faithful to who God has called us as a family to be, us as a community. So we're not trying to say we're better than by any means. We're not trying to say that this is what makes us. We're just simply saying God has called us in our gifting and who we are and how we are and where we are to act in a certain way as a church. Hope that makes sense. For example, one of our values, we're not talking about it today, is we love his presence. So because of that, we behave a little differently than other churches. Now, it's not bad. We're not saying this is better. We're just being honest about who we are as a body. So we may have an extra worship song, right? We may go a little bit longer in worship than maybe the church, I don't know, right? Or the way we treat kids. We have an art auction today. We're doing that. One of our values is building strong families. We believe this. We are identifying ourselves as a church who is into this. And so it's just kind of helpful as a church body to understand who we are, where we're coming from, why we do what we do. This is not just like, you know, we're trying to be very intentional with how we do church together as a family. And so we created this document. And we call it the blueprint. We have builders here. We do not have members. We call those who have committed to the church builders. So in all of our huge creativity, we came up with blueprints, right? Builders, blueprint, no? I don't know. I thought it was cool. So in the blueprint, you will find kind of like our mission statement and our pillars as a community and the things that we're striving to go after are kind of our mission. But when we get to our values, that's basically defined as like how we behave, right? Like some of you may have grown up in a family where you had certain family values and your dad gets mad. He yells at you. He's like, that's not a family value, right? And some people go really far, like they print these out. Families have like family crests, right? I mean, this all comes from a system of values. And so as a church, we do have these values. And so if you go through our family formation, which is kind of like our funnel to becoming more involved in the church, we talk through this quite a bit. You'll get a copy of this in family formation and just something that you can have as kind of a guide. Again, I hope that it's been very clear. This is not just like something that this is how it should be. This is Oasis Church Chicago. This is what we believe God has called us on mission and how we need to act in that mission, okay? So today, we're going to talk about this value. We do the right thing. I think there's a slide. We do the right thing. Now, this sounds obvious maybe, right? We do the right thing. But honestly, it's not always that obvious. And a cool thing about values is you can remind each other. This is the cool thing about it. So as we have a bunch of different teams here. Like we show up early and we set up chairs and we break stuff every now and then here. And so we have Pastor Charles. I don't know where he's at. He's in here somewhere. There he is. He's an elder at our church. He's also on staff here at the school. So he keeps us honest. But if we break something or we spill something, like we do the right thing, right? And it sounds like, it's not that big of a deal, but it is to us because we're in a rented space, okay? And this just goes all the way down. Financial practices as a church. Like we want to keep our financial, this is a thing. We know, we say we do the right thing. Costs a little extra to hire a tax attorney to check all of our books. Doesn't matter. We do the right thing. We want to make sure we're doing the right thing. Actually, Pastor Derek, I'll put him on the spot. He wrote me a message the other day because he was going to he asked me about something, and he said, I probably don't even need to ask you this. And the truth is, he didn't, right? But I was like, hey, man, yeah, you don't. But it's really cool that you did, because it's just cool that we all keep each other honest all the time, right? It's like submit one to another. And it's just a cool concept that we can keep at the forefront. And so just so everybody knows, this is very, very, very important to us as a church. Okay, so let me read to you guys what it says in 1 John 1. And this is powerful passage here. I'll read it, and then we'll get into it. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me pray one more time. Father, we just give this time to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that this message will bring freedom. God, I pray that anyone struggling with any kind of addiction, secret sin, any weight, God, we just pray that you will do it today. You will lift it off and do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the thing about being a Christian, okay? You can fake it, right? And it's the truth. Like, people fake it. And I know it's hard to believe. I'm sure no one in Oasis does this, surely. But it's possible to fake being a Christian. It's possible to show up here every Sunday, and we could all be like, oh my gosh. You know, in Mexico, we say sister, right, or brother. It's really cool, because you don't have to remember anybody's name ever, right? And so you'd be like, oh, sister, or brother, or hermano. We say like, hey, hermano. And so people for 15 years, right? Hermano, if I ever had to, for $1 million, I wouldn't be able to say that name. But the thing about that is like, oh yeah, hermano, whoever, sister, whoever, they're like the greatest. I mean, they're just so awesome, their attitude. But we don't see what's happening behind closed doors. Like, we don't know. And some of you guys, nobody sees and nobody knows, right? Like, even your spouse or your family. And the thing about this is you can put on a face, you can put on a mask, and you can fake it. You can show up here. You might be totally off somewhere and knowing you are and struggling, and you're just here with a smile, plastic smile, week after week after week. But hear me, you can't do it forever. You can do it, right? And it can happen, but not forever. And the Bible's so clear on that. In Galatians 6, I don't have the verse, but it talks about how you reap what you sow, right? And so it's like, the thing about sowing and reaping that confuses us is you always reap way after you sow. So sometimes you're sowing stuff and it's like, oh, I'm totally getting away with this, right? Like, no one notices what I'm doing. Or, you know, a week goes by, even a year, 2 years, whatever. And you think like, yeah, I can do this forever. But you will eventually. It always happens. The Bible, in Numbers, man, I don't know why the Spanish is trying to come out today. In Numbers, it says your sin will find you out, right? Like it's a thing. In James, it says a double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from God. So like there's this tension where it's like, yeah, you can fake it. You can blow it. But then the other side is you're not going to receive what you come here faking to get, right? I mean, like, you could try. One pastor, I loved it. He said, like, God cannot bless who you pretend to be, right? And so there's such a temptation to walk in this. And so this is going to be on the screen here. The right thing, when we say we do the right thing is honest, sincere, and open. But deception is where the devil lives. Deception is where the devil lives. Secrets is where, like, so again, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, right, then we can have communion with one another and with him. But if you walk in the darkness or the secret or like where no one can see, and so why is this? Like, it's the devil's the father of lies, the father of deception. And so here's the thing with secrets. When you begin to do something or have like a whatever, some kind of pattern in your life that no one knows about, you're opening the door for deception and for the enemy to gain like a foothold in your life, okay? So you're basically saying, here where I'm not shining the light. And so there's a few different ways to combat this, right? Like obviously the most obvious is confession. And I'm going to say something totally bizarre. I was thinking about this in worship. It sounds bizarre. Please hear my heart, okay? We, in our church tradition, we believe in confessing our sins to God, as I read earlier. But I kind of get where the other faith traditions have put confession as a part of their practice. I'm not advocating for this, okay? Do not get upset. If you want to send me an email, send it to jptrolio@oasischurch.com, okay? I'm not advocating for but I'm saying I get it. Or I understand why you could go down that path, because honestly, there's a healthy side to it. An extremely healthy side to get it out, put it in the light. And so if there's something that you're like, man, is this okay or not okay? Tell somebody. Yeah, be like, I'm thinking about doing this. Or, hey, I'm going to this concert. This or that. Just wanted to let you know. Just wanted to see what you thought. Am I, whatever, right? And I don't know why I said concert. But if that, there's just different things, right? I mean, it could be whatever. Going on a certain trip. I'm doing this or that. I'm going to go on a date with this person. I don't know, right? You guys know. Watching this movie. But if you get it into the light, we can have communion with one another and with him. And then, so when it comes to confession, and I love this, you guys remember American Online? Anyone? AOL? Derek does it? Come on, Nick does, because he's older than I am. But so, I just had to throw that out there. So American Online, my first ever screen name, because I was such a Christian, awesome Christian kid, was First John. It was 1STJN19, right? First John 1:9. I was in junior high. I had the Tommy Hellfighter shirt. It didn't say Tommy Hilfiger. It said Tommy Hellfighter, right? So that was my childhood, guys, all right? So, but that verse, though, guys, if you confess your sins, if you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the secrets, guys, secrets, and if you're married, secrets from your spouse is the most, it's a minefield. And here's the lie from the enemy. It starts out so small, oh, this is not a big deal. That's the biggest lie in all this. It's not a big deal. Nobody knows. Nobody's gonna see. It's not hurting anybody. Oh, if you told your spouse, they would freak out. So it's not even worth telling them. If you ever brought this up, they would totally see you. So just shh. No one needs to know. But when we live that way, I'm telling you guys, it's a wide open door to the enemy. Wide open. And then that's when destruction happens. That's when he gets in and stuff starts to get ruined. And here's the other thing about it. Once you have a little secret, it starts to snowball like crazy. All of a sudden, it's bigger and bigger. And then you lie. I hope all of us go into marriage this goal of I'm never going to lie to my spouse, ever. But then if you do it once, guess what? Now it's a lot easier, right? Yeah. And then it can happen again and again and again and again. And sooner or later, you got to start getting stuff out into the light. Let the light shine on it. We here at this church, we want to say this with putting our best before, we want to do the right thing. We want this. We want to be open, want to be sincere, want to be vulnerable, want to be able to say yeah, you know what? I am struggling with this. I'm worried for my marriage. I'm worried for my mind. I'm worried for my kids. Some of us, we have to make it look like our kids have it all together, right? Or our kids are fine. Man, I'm terrified for my kids, guys. They're going to be teenagers. I have two teenagers now. I don't know what I'm doing, right? But if we get it out into the light, We start saying no, but this is how I feel. I don't know what to do. And the thing about confessing, it's when that grace comes, guys, grace is empowering. When you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive, and that forgiveness hits, and you know it, and you're like, no, and you say it to somebody, and then you realize I'm free, and you can live in that freedom. That is what the enemy is terrified of. He does not want you to be free and to fulfill your potential in Christ. And it only happens if we're willing to take that step. And you can see, we see it with our kids, and it's hilarious. Our kids are growing up, again, seriously, I'm not kidding. I'm terrified about, I'm always hey, are you okay? I probably ask that to my kids. They're just so annoyed, right? Are you okay? Are you good? Is your heart okay? Yeah. And so, but obviously, they have a lot of family in Mexico. So we probably did the stupidest thing ever and got them cell phones, right? The older kids have phones. Which, again, another debate, throw stones, whatever. It's horrible probably, but they have phones at their age. And so that's a whole thing, right? text messages, and like, you know, it's totally fine. I agree, or would say the only time you can lie is if you're lying to your kids, okay? I'm kidding, don't lie. I'm kind of kidding. But like, when I say lie to your kids, I mean like psyops, right? Like, hey, I know what you said. You better tell me before I find it out on my own, right? Like, you have no idea what they said, but you're all in on this bluff. And so like I said to one of my kids, like, I know how to unblock messages. I didn't even know you could do this, right? But you can, right? So I didn't know this. So you can find erased messages. I was like, I know how to find erased messages. Last chance, right? And they break, right? And you like feel like, yes, I broke them, you know? But then I found out that you can see erased messages. And so once I found that out, it was like, ooh, now they're terrified, right? And so we've caught a kid or two in a few things. And again, it's just devastating. It's like, oh, I want to just call my parents and apologize for like age 15 through 22, honestly, because now I understand what's happening. But the other day we had, I'm not going to say who, okay? It was a girl, so there's one out of four chance that you could know who it is. But we were sitting on the couch watching TV. It was like everyone went to bed. They'd been in bed for like a half hour. So they usually fall asleep really fast. And we're sitting there watching TV, and we hear someone come down the stairs. It was like, that's weird. Here's someone going to the bathroom. Like, okay, the bathroom downstairs. And so like I pause the TV. Like, you know, then they come out of the bathroom. Like, what? Who is it? So said person comes into the room, and she's like, I'm really trying not to say her name. She's like walking like this. And we're like, what is happening? I'm trying to watch Love is Blind. And you're in here. I have it paused, right? And you're in here wandering around, okay? And she starts crying. And she said, this boy at my school, and that's all she got out. And I was like, oh boy, I'm getting Mark and Derek's dad, and we're going to the school, right? Like, it's time. Like, this is not okay. And then she got it all out. This boy at school told me he likes me, and I told him I like him also, and I feel like I did something wrong. Floodgates, right? And I was like, we're both like, whoa, right? And so, but honestly, so there's certain rules in my house about them dating till they're like 40, but she knows that like she crossed the line with, you know, kind of going to be a little, you know, girlfriend and boyfriend, but she's just confessing. And it was like, it's fine. It's totally fine. We're like, it's totally fine. It's cool. It's all good. It's natural. Like, and it's so funny how if I would have heard from somebody else, they're like, oh, she against my will is like, has a little boyfriend, I would have been so mad. But when she came and told us like that, it was pure grace. It was like, oh, you want to sit down and watch a movie? Let's make some popcorn, right? Like, it was like everything changes. Seriously. Confession is so different from somebody stumbling, from you being found out in your sin. And there's grace there, guys. There's grace in that. And Jesus talks so much about this in the New Testament. Like he gets mad in the New Testament. And it's crazy because he never gets mad at someone looking for grace. Never. Never gets mad at someone looking for, but he gets so mad at people who are faking it. He gets like, do you guys remember the temple? Like he made a whip out of cords, guys, in the temple, chased people out of it. And then there's another, in Matthew 23, there's this chapter and he goes off on this group called the Pharisees. So this group called the Pharisees, they were basically just faking. They're religious, quote unquote. Like they would set all these rules and they wouldn't do it themselves. And I just want to read you guys a few highlights of this. And you can go back in your week and read Matthew 23 on your own. But I'm just going to go quick through some verses. So he's talking to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23:3, he says, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. He's telling the crowd. He's like, do what they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They don't do the right thing. In verse 5, he says, everything they do is done for people to see. Verse 13, he says, woe to you. And this he repeats a bunch of times in the chapter. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Then back it up to Matthew 15, one more verse here. It says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So I always thought like a hypocrite was just somebody who said one thing and did another, right? But the Greek word, I think they had put it on the slide. The Greek word is Hippocrates, and it actually means actor or stage player. So the word hypocrite in the New Testament actually means actor. So it's different from just like lying, right? It's different from just saying like, oh no, you know, I'm a Cubs fan, you're at the Sox game. This is like, this is different. This is acting. You're acting. You're saying, no, I have it all together. Or I'm good. I'm, you know, and you're putting on a false front, a mask. So it's so crazy to think like Jesus, all the things he could have been frustrated by, he was most frustrated by people who were wearing a mask. And so like he desires this just open, sincere, real, honest side of ourselves. And the lie from the enemy is don't show it to anyone. Don't let anyone see. They'll look at you different. They'll think about you different. You'll never be the same. You won't have a chance. They won't let you serve over and over and over again. Pride, get it, you know, all of it. And the call from Christ is, hey, come to the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. That's where fellowship is in our church. That's where fellowship is with him and with the saints. Confess your sin. If you say you don't have sin, the truth is not in you. And that passage is just, when it comes alive, it's like, yes, this is what we desperately need as a church body, is to be real. And so I don't want to ignore, and please don't hear me. I hope this is not in any way condemning. I know that there are sins that you can get caught up in, patterns and lies and addictions. And I get it. And I know, and I feel like I don't want to overlook this, right? There can be some serious like chains. And I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying, oh, it's easy. Just tell someone. I understand that there are probably some situations where it could be heart-wrenching. It could be devastating. But here's the thing. You don't want to live your life in the dark. It affects you. It affects your spouse, your kids, or your future kids. Maybe you're single. And if you're single and you're living in the dark in some area of your life, I would just pray that you let this penetrate your heart so that you can be free for your future spouse, for your future kids. I mean, and if you've believed a lie like that you can't be free, that you're only gonna be this way, that you'll never have a happy marriage because your parents didn't have a happy marriage and their parents didn't, and if you've believed that lie, today is the day you walk out of here free from that lie. You can 100% be free. God has the most amazing plan for you, but you gotta walk in the light. You got to be willing to say to someone, hey, I just want you to know I'm doing this or this happened, or hey, I have a lunch. If you're, you know, sometimes at your job, you may have to mingle with the opposite sex. Say, hey, I have a lunch with this person. I'm doing this. I just want to be accountable to someone, right? Here, look at my phone. Check my phone. Leave your phone. Guys, secrets start so small. If you're married, you're in a relationship with your spouse, whoever, your kids, phones should never be secrets, okay? And I don't care if people say like, you're old fashioned and whatever, like, okay. But my phone, she knows the password. And like, I think because she doesn't want any problems, she doesn't check it, right? I'm kidding. Like she doesn't want to like, oh God, right? But I'm kidding. That was a joke. She checks it, I'm sure, right? But we have that. I know that she knows my password and I know that she, you know, can look at my pictures, whatever, right? Like, and now my kids do too, okay? But also, it's important, guys. These are like these building blocks of trust and relationship. It's like, no, I need to live in the light. Like, I need this, guys, because we are inherently, like, it's easy for any of us to kind of stray or one compliment feels good from someone of the opposite sex at work. And you think like, oh, that felt good. And you have this little twinge of like, hey, be careful. And you're like, nah, it's no big deal, right? And that, if you're not careful, can grow and grow. You have to guard your heart, walk in the light. And there's grace here, guys. And this is also on the screen. We're winding it down here. But the right thing brings grace. There's grace in confession. There's grace in saying, there's grace in going and saying like, listen, I need to talk. I need to talk to a pastor. I just want to share that I feel like I'm struggling with this. I want to get it out there. I want you to call me and ask me about it once a week. I want you to tell me. I want you to, if you see something in me, please point it out. And one of the most devastating things I've walked through in ministry, just being totally honest and open, is a guy that I was in ministry with for years. Like, we went to Bible school together. We were in the trenches out in these villages in Mexico. I mean, just in the trenches, right? Trying to minister to people and inviting crazy situations. I have so many stories. And this it came out right before I moved here that he had been cheating on his wife. And it was devastating to so many people, right? And just you can see how sin started out so small. And it destroyed this guy. Destroyed him. You should see, he doesn't even look like the same person, guys. He doesn't even look like he's the same human, right? His family is his. And but as we're talking about it, stories start to come out, even talking with him about it, like God tried to warn him. Please hear me. I'm not kidding here. Like, I'm not exaggerating. This is not like a preacher extra sauce on the taco story. This is like real. Like, God tried to warn him. And we could identify like at least three different moments. One time his mom walked up to him. I was like, hey, it looks weird how you're talking to that woman over there. His mom, who just, all these different things. Ignore. Devastation. Total devastation. Death. And if this is a warning today, like if this is the Holy Spirit, like, all right, hey, you've not gone too far. You've not. Please hear me. You've not gone too far. But if it's just a simple like, hey, talk, be careful, you know, stop, delete, whatever, right? Like if this is just a simple, all right, thank you, Lord, for that little, wait, then please hear it, guys, please. Because everyone says, and I promise you, my friend would have said, I will never, ever, 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 ever do that. I promise you, I've known him since he was 18, right? I promise you he would have said that. But here we are 15 years later, and little by little, by little, by little, by little, by little, it creeps in. So I just want to end with this passage, okay? And this is, Jesus is telling a parable here in Luke 18. Luke 18:9, it says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. It said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, mask wearer, faker, right? The other a tax collector, who was like the worst of the worst in this culture. The tax collectors were the worst, okay? They stole, everyone hated them. Said in verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We do the right thing, guys. Sometimes the right thing is humiliating, to be honest, right? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it makes you cry and it's hard conversations. But guys, we do it. We do the right thing. We walk in the light. And if you've been stuck, if you've been in something, if you feel like you're just in chains and you can't be free, we believe with you in Jesus' name that you can be. We believe that you can walk out of here free. You do not have to live this way. If your marriage is in chains because of a secret sin, we believe in Jesus' name for freedom and for restoration. Right? If your kids, we believe that they'll come home. If there's a prodigal situation, we will stand with you and we will believe in Jesus' name for freedom, for salvation, for restoration, for health, because that's what we do. But we got to be honest, guys. We got to get it out. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, right? And I just pray that even now, in fact, Bruce, whoa, he's there. That was insane. Wow. I pray even now, guys. Moments, we gotta reset. Gonna pray. Guys, that wherever you find yourself today, like whatever spot you're in, and some of you, just, he's pointing out something right now. His finger's on your heart and it feels uncomfortable. And you wanna squirm, you wanna get up and walk away. But listen, he's just saying he's calling you to freedom. It's not condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right? The wisdom that comes from above is peaceable first. In James it says, it's peaceable. So right now, if you feel that peaceable burn, that like burn in your heart, that's him saying, hey, I have something more for you. I have something deeper for you. I have something cleaner for you. I have something healthy for you. You can breathe again. You can relax. There's a future that you can't even imagine before you. We just got to get this out. So if you guys could stand up. I wanted to say spend a few moments in prayer. We're going to worship and open the altar here in a moment. But let me just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, right now that you just begin to move in every heart, every mind. God, and I just pray you'll call us to the light. If we walk in the light as you are in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another and with you. I pray you'll call people in to the light this morning. God, anyone who's just been wrapped in darkness, tied up, any shame. We just rebuke shame in Jesus' name, God. We thank you that we are loved. We are loved by you. We are loved by you. Thank you for that. Nothing can beat that. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, nor height, nor depth, nor width, nothing. And God, I just speak this over everyone today in Jesus' name. If you are here and you feel that, you feel like, man, it's time, I just want to be set free. And I understand this is a sensitive thing, guys, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, it's kind of sensitive, right? But if that's you, I would love to pray for you. We have a team of pastors, I want someone to lay their hand on you and believe with you. You don't have to say what you're dealing with, you don't have to confess, you don't have unless you feel like you need to. You don't have to tell us right now, right? If you need to make an appointment, if you need to talk this through, we can do that. But if that is you, I would ask that you have the courage to come forward as we worship, and we would love to pray for you. In Jesus' name, Father, we just give you this time. We raise our voices for this one last song, and I pray that you will move, set people free in Jesus' name. Enemy, we rebuke you in the name of the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. Freedom in this place. I speak freedom in this place. I speak freedom. God, I pray for thriving in Jesus' name. I pray that there will be fruit like never before. God, I pray you will move in hearts and minds, and we stand together as a community, and we just say thank you, Father, for your freedom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you would like to come forward, please do so. We're going to lay a hand on you.